Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're talking about Sam Barrington, unfortunately, being placed on injured reserve. The linebacker lost for the season. To talk about that and how the Packers replace him, we bring on the phone Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com for his weekly appearance. Nathan, how you doing this week?
Good morning, Brian. I'm doing well. How about you?
Good, good. Glad to talk to you as usual. All right, let's get to this. Nathan, what are the Packers losing in Sam Barrington? You know, if we look at what he's done in the past, not just what he did this season, because that was really pretty little, but dating back to last year, what are the Packers losing?
Yeah, last year Barrington was someone who graded out fairly poorly against the run, but was an average linebacker in coverage. He was too often getting blocked at the second level by offensive linemen, something that I'm sure the Packers were hoping would happen less this year. But if you compare Barrington to the other options the Packers had at inside linebacker last year, like against Hawk and Brad Jones, Barrington was the clearer option among those guys. But he was someone the Packers had hoped would develop more against the run, but he was still an average player in coverage, didn't make too many mistakes, made a couple of tackles for short gains there in coverage. So the most he'd be missing his coverage skills more than his play against the run.
And that's kind of a scary thing considering how he covered against Terrence Sproles in the preseason, I think. But then on the flip side of the coin, to give us a better idea of what maybe Nate Palmer offers, one of the options to replace Sam Barrington in the Packers starting lineup, how did he grade out in the preseason at inside linebacker? Because this is a new position for him.
He looked decent at times in the preseason on his limited action, at least. He had a few stops in the run game, had a pass defense, never allowed a huge catch. The one downside is he did miss a few tackles in the preseason. I think it was two of them. Then in Sunday's game, there were a few more times where the offensive line was getting to the second level, blocking Palmer, which you don't want to see, but then he also had a few tackles for short gains to make up for it. Then in the past game, his stats all looked fine. I think he allowed one catch compared to five times that he was targeted. But there were a few plays in coverage where he wasn't in as good of a position as you would want a linebacker to be in. But then Jay Cutler didn't have a very accurate pass, so then the ball wasn't caught. So he wasn't really exploited in the past game since he wasn't allowing those catches. But he also rushed the passer a decent number of times for an inside linebacker and never came up with pressure. So not a great game, but also nothing too terrible either.
Well, maybe he might be an upgrade over Barrington in the pass coverage department. I suppose we'll find out more the more we see him. Obviously, we're talking about a small sample size at this point. Nathan, I know some fans are also excited to see Jake Ryan step up and take on a role. Kind of basically the same question for him. Does it look like he's ready for prime time after his performance in the preseason?
Out of these three players that we've talked about so far, Ryan graded the best out of the three in the preseason, mostly in his play against the run. He had three tackles for losses in the preseason and another for a short gain, which is more positive plays than either Barrington or Palmer had. Although he also had a few negatively graded plays against the run to go along with that. As a pass rusher, he was also most impressive. He had two sacks, which was good. And then in the pass game in coverage, he played 60 snaps in that in the preseason, but he was never really tested. He was only thrown at once over all 60 of those snaps, which is pretty abnormal. And on that one play, he allowed an 8-yard crossing route, which was caught for a first down. But really, we haven't seen him tested too much in coverage to know how good he'll be there yet. So I'd like to see him get at least a little bit of playing time along with Palmer to see a little bit of competition and who would do better at that spot. But in the preseason, he looked good.
Yeah, of course, in the preseason, coming up against backups at least some of the time, and I know the Packers are always hesitant to trot rookies out on the field right away. It seems like they kind of grow their roles over the course of a season, and maybe the time has come that Jake Ryan's role grows for now. We know, of course, Clay Matthews had the big interception in week one, but how did he look overall? Because there was so much attention on him entering the season at inside linebacker for the first time to enter a season.
Even outside of that interception, he looked pretty good at inside linebacker. He had the exact same role as last year, inside linebacker in the base and nickel, then moved outside or somewhere as a pass rusher in the dime defense. It wasn't always necessarily on the outside, but as a pass rushing role in the dime at least. He looked good against the run. He had a good tackle for a loss there. He also he had a tackle that saved a touchdown, and then he also had a couple plays where he was able to get inside of Vladimir Dukasi to disrupt the run, even if he wasn't necessarily the one making the tackle to end the play. But also a few plays where he got blocked there too, but I think the good outweighed the bad there in the run game. He had a hit and two hurries as a pass rusher. One of those was called back by penalty, which that's okay as a pass rusher, but he did rush the passer 28 times, so I would have expected to see a little bit more pressure out of him there. And then even outside of that interception, which obviously helped his grade a lot, he allowed a first down catch to Forte, but then also stopped Forte on another play. So that basically evened itself out. So overall, the one thing you would expect Matthews to excel at, his pass rushing, he wasn't great at, where he was pretty good at the other two things, run defense and coverage.
Well, hopefully he only gets better from here. I think it was an encouraging first start at inside linebacker for Matthews for the 2015 season. Nathan, also the Packers get back Dayton Jones from suspension this week, placing Sam Barrington on injured reserve, kind of opened up the roster spot for him. Kind of waiting to see this first round draft pick play up to his, you know, draft status. Does Dayton Jones play last season at all suggest he's finally ready to emerge?
I'm not sure we'll ever see him emerge as much as we would like him to. Last year against the run, he played pretty terribly, so I don't expect to see him in the base defense much, if at all, this season with some of the other guys that the Packers have that are better against the run. But as a pass rusher, I could see him continuing on in that situational pass rusher role. He looked good there last year with two sacks, two hits, 15 hurries, and 223 pass rushes. So I wouldn't be surprised at all to see his sack number go up this year. But it's still only playing in that situational pass rush role where I think when he was drafted in the first round, we expected him to be kind of that every down guy that was good at both run defense and pass rushing.
Yeah, he's got to be healthy too. We know during the preseason he missed some time due to a knee injury. We're talking to Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com here at Railbird Central on a Wednesday morning. Nathan, let's take a look at the offensive side of the football. Did James Jones give any indications he can be more than just a complementary piece of the Packers offense in their season opener?
Obviously, Jones had a great day with those touchdowns. He caught all four passes thrown his way. Along with that, another catch that was caught back by penalty, another play where he was doing a fine job, and then there was a defensive pass interference that stopped him from catching the ball. So I think Jones is probably already the Packers' second-best receiving option behind Randall Cobb. I don't think Devontae Adams or Richard Rodgers ever had quite as good of a day as Jones just had on Sunday, so I'm fine saying already that he has probably the second biggest role in the offense in the pass game amongst the receivers. The only thing that would slightly concern me of saying that already is he was going up against Alan Ball all game, a guy who's on his fourth NFL team already, most recently played for Jacksonville, and Jacksonville didn't make a huge effort to keep him. So he's not the best cornerback, but I also wouldn't be surprised if, even if there was a much better cornerback going up against Jones in that game, just with how accurate those passes were to Jones, I'm not sure anyone could have really covered some of those passes. So definitely a great game out of Jones in this one.
Yeah, I can even buy that he's the Packers' number two option, with the caveat, of course, until proven otherwise. At some point, Devontae Adams will probably overtake him. When that point will be, We don't really know. I know Aaron Rodgers was snubbed, Nathan, for the NFL's Air Player of the Week award, but I can't imagine there were many other candidates that performed as good as Rodgers in week one in the NFL. How did he stack up against the other QBs?
Rodgers deserved to win that award. He was our highest graded quarterback last week, and it wasn't even really that close. We only had one negatively graded miscommunication play from him. So outside of that, it was all positive. Some very good throws that definitely helped his grade as well. The one stat that most impressed me is even when he was under pressure, he was averaging 15.2 yards per attempt, which is excellent. There were a lot of accurate passers last week, but a lot of them that were really accurate were just throwing really short passes. I know Rivers is someone who statistically looked very good last week, but he was also only throwing the ball a couple yards in the air each pass, where Rodgers, he was 6 for 8 on passes that were thrown in the air for at least 10 yards. So Rodgers, I would say, deserved that award, and I'm guessing it's just a case of with an award like that, if you award the best player the award each week, then Rodgers would just win basically every week, and that gets a little boring to have the same player win the award over and over. So I'm guessing that has more to do with it that if someone lives up to their ex or exceeds their expectations, they'll choose that player over Rodgers, who met our expectations of continuing to be the best quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, I think that has a large part to do with it. And the fact that Aaron Rodgers only threw for 180 yards, albeit it was just about the most efficient 180 yards you could possibly find in the NFL, as opposed to other guys who probably threw for over 300 or something like that. But anyway, here, Nathan, we're starting to look ahead to, of course, this upcoming week's game, a big one. Packers out for revenge against the Seattle Seahawks, in retribution for last year's loss in the NFC Championship game. I know I'm particularly interested in the Seahawks running game. I know they lost week one, but I'd like to know how Marshawn Lynch looked. Is he the same strong back that the Packers faced last year? As you kind of take us through the preview of the Packers opponent here.
I think Marshawn Lynch is the same guy he was last year. He had 5 Rams missed tackles on him on his 18 carries, which is a very good rate for a running back. And that's always what Lynch has been best at, is having guys miss tackles on him. His other statistics weren't as good as you would expect from last year, his yard total, his yards per attempt. And that had a lot more to do with the offensive line than it did Lynch. They had one of the worst offensive lines in the league last year. They lost two of their better starters, and they looked in-house to replace them. So that went exactly as you would expect it to. All 5 starters graded out below average in run blocking last week. 4 of the 5 graded out below average in pass blocking as well, with the offensive tackles doing a really bad job against the Rams pass rushers. So there's really a bigger weakness in the Seahawks offensive line than there even was in the past. So the Packers front four should be able to take advantage of this and get to Lynch sooner than they were able to get to Lynch in the conference championship game. They just need to be able to bring him down once they get to him, which the Packers had a lot of trouble doing in that championship game.
Very good, Nathan. Thank you so much for joining us this morning and helping us preview the upcoming game against the Seahawks, as well as taking a look back at the season opener. We love talking to you every week, and we'll talk to you. We'll recap this game next Wednesday.
Sounds good. Have a good one.
All right, you too. Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com joining us as he does every Wednesday on the show during the season, so you can look forward to his analysis. Every week, except the bye week, coming up on Railbird Central for the rest of the year. Moving on, as we continue with our Packers news of the day, next segment of the show, and giving you my 2 cents on the topic we've already broached with Nathan. But Sam Barrington, of course, going on injured reserve on Tuesday. He did not get the designated to return tag, meaning that Barrington will not return this year. No chance of that happening. He is out for the year. If you were holding out hope that that might happen, It's not going to, unfortunately. Now, the question is, you know, how much of a loss is Sam Berrington to this Packers defense? And you know what? I'm going to go out on a limb here and say this is actually maybe not a major loss. And Nathan Jahnke kind of alluded to this earlier in the show during his interview. You know, I think you look at Sam Berrington, and last year in 2014, he was an upgrade over A.J. Hawk and Brad Jones, and that certainly helped the Packers last year. But I think that almost, you know, influences some observers to an extent that they kind of thought that Sam Berrington was the next big thing. And I'm just not sure, you know, being an upgrade over A.J. Hawk and Brad Jones, and I've mentioned this on the show before, if you're a devout listener, you're probably hearing this for the fifth time. But, I mean, that's just not really all that impressive. I mean, it's good. I mean, I don't think that Sam Berrington is not undeserving of a job or anything like that. But I'm not really sure if he was really all that great, all really, you know, Pro Bowl caliber inside linebacker. Maybe he might be in due time. You know, I just think that if you were to rank the 22 starters for the Green Bay Packers, offense and defense, where would Sam Berrington come in? Probably somewhere near the bottom. I'm not saying he's dead last, but boy, oh boy, I certainly don't know if there'd be almost any players on offense I would put below Sam Berrington. And then maybe on defense, he would come near the bottom. So maybe the drop-off between him and his replacements, perhaps not all that big. You know, I think what the Packers are going to do is see what Nate Palmer can offer until that caveat, until proven otherwise. He's the third-year veteran now, and albeit he kind of is, you know, played his first regular season game at inside linebacker in week one. This was a transition starting last year, although it was interrupted by a season ended on injured reserve, so he really didn't get, you know, as much time as he would have liked, but he did get, you know, of course, mental reps throughout the entire season in terms of, you know, knowing he had made that change and learning from that standpoint. And you know, Nate Palmer basically had an okay performance, you know, in week one. He struggled a little bit against the run, did all right against the pass. Again, small sample size, so either one of those things could happen to fall another way in any other game. I also am hopeful that that Nate Palmer is going to look better the further removed he is now from the, you know, broken hand or I'm not even sure the exact nature of the injury, if it was a broken finger, something broken on his hand that he had to wear the club cast during the preseason. I think, you know, he actually was not wearing it in week one. And I think, you know, that's only going to help him. And maybe eventually he loses, you know, was wearing some sort of padding there. And maybe by the time he loses that, he'll have full range of motion in his hand or whatever, and is going to look even better. So that's the encouraging part, that you can hope that Nate Palmer will be even better in the future. Now, I know a lot of people are looking forward to Jake Ryan, but as I mentioned to Nathan Jahnke, it just, you know, the Packers are very hesitant to give those rookies a role right away. I mean, take a look at all the rookies on the roster. Yeah, Demarius Randall played. He didn't start. Take a look at Quentin Rollins, second-round draft choice, played exclusively on special teams. Take a look at Jake Ryan, the first game, played exclusively on special teams, not a single snap on defense. And just look at, you know, some of the other rookies on the roster, all the guys who were just inactive and didn't even play, the undrafted rookies, Ladarius Gunter and Alonzo Harris, rookie quarterback Brett Hundley. Of course, obviously he's not going to play, even if he was active, as long as, you know, Aaron Rodgers was healthy or whatever. But there's so hesitant early in the season to put those rookies out in a position where they might make mental mistakes just because they haven't been around yet. They're still learning the lay of the land, still learning the tricks of the trade, all those kind of things. And their role grows over the course of the season. Take a look at Davante Adams last year. Davante Adams in the season opener, played 9 snaps, would go on to play a whole lot more the rest of the season. But in the season opener, Davante Adams, a guy who, caught 30-plus passes for like 600 yards, but maybe it wasn't quite 600. I forget the number off the top of my head. Regardless, barely played early in the year, goes on to have a bigger role later in the season. And I don't know, maybe push has now come to shove, and it's time to start getting Jake Ryan some snaps. We'll find out. I think the Packers, like I said, going to stick with Nate Palmer until proven otherwise. And maybe there's kind of a timeshare. Maybe they both kind of play, and whoever plays best ends up getting more time, playing time than the other. We'll see what happens. The Packers also have other options on the practice squad. You kind of wonder now that they basically have only 3 inside linebackers on the roster between Palmer, Ryan, and Matthews. And you could argue that Clay Matthews is not even a true inside linebacker, that he still plays that outside a little bit. So is that a risk going with only 3 inside linebackers on the roster, and might they add one? So they got Carl Bradford and James Vaughters, and who would the Packers bring up? And I'd be willing to say Carl Bradford would be the first option if the Packers were to elevate somebody. But I also think here, I think the Packers are going to try to ride this out for as long as possible with just these 3 guys. Because, you can basically live with only 3 inside linebackers on your game day active 46-man roster. It's 53, but only 46 play on game days. So I think they're going to try to live with that as long as possible until forced, to elevate somebody. So because I don't think they want to cut anybody, as well. They don't want to, send somebody to the street just for the sake of having a 4th inside linebacker. Because, even if they were to elevate Carl Bradford right now, he's obviously not going to play much. They don't think enough of him that they're going to play him over Nate Palmer or Jake Ryan. Maybe he would play on special teams, but is that worth cutting somebody to have Carl Bradford play special teams? I don't think so. So like I said, that's why I think the Packers are going to ride this out until, somewhere down the road, these guys have injuries or something happens to them. I know a lot of people are looking at Desmond Bishop out there, of course, just because of the former Packers connection, now a free agent. And he's a guy who's, spent time in other organizations, for a while, of course, was with the Minnesota Vikings, but last year with the Arizona Cardinals, and then signed this offseason with the San Francisco 49ers, ended up getting released. He's now on the street. And I wouldn't close the door on Desmond Bishop, but my opinion on this is it would take another injury for the Packers to go that route. I just don't think, I think Desmond Bishop is a little bit slow now. He's getting up there in age and wouldn't be their top option. I think they would look to the practice squad before they would look to Desmond Bishop. Like I said, I wouldn't close the door. All of a sudden, if, Clay Matthews, knock on wood, has an injury, that they could go that route. And who knows? All it would even take would be a minor injury where the Packers, one of these inside linebackers just misses 1 week. That would force their hand, and the Packers would have to add somebody at some point. But again, I think the practice squad is the more realistic place the Packers look. I know I asked before the show what our listeners thought, what the Packers should do to replace Sam Barrington on the 53-man roster. Who would you use and why? And here's a few of the responses I got. Justin Scanlon says Palmer first and then Ryan if he doesn't do well. Samuel Shear on Twitter says Jake Ryan makes a lot of sense. It would be neat to see if he's got what it takes. Also wouldn't mind a Bishop reunion. Chase Erickson asks, how about using Sean Richardson there in the nickel? That's an interesting idea. Maybe I'll address that in a second here. Joe Garnero says they will give Ryan a shot, Malumba, and maybe Elliott, then Bradford, hoping they do something more aggressive. JVan07 on Twitter says probably go with Palmer. I mean, that's who replaced him in Chicago. Earthquake320 actually even suggests Brandon Spikes, the guy who got released from the, I believe it was the Buffalo Bills after being arrested, or pardon me, New England Patriots after being arrested in the offseason. I'm not sure how realistic that one is now after all that transpired. And Craig Canass says Ryan is more of a three-down linebacker. Would have gotten big minutes by the end of the year. Now his timetable has moved up. I mean, of course, a lot of the options are, you know, Nate Palmer and Jake Ryan, with a few people throwing in other options, you know, from free agents or Desmond Bishop or the practice squad. Like I said before, the interesting one was Sean Richardson as kind of a nickel or dime linebacker. And you know what? I like that idea a whole lot more than Sean Richardson basically as a nickel cornerback. As we saw in week one this year, Sean Richardson really struggled. And he struggles out in space. You know, that's why you saw last year, Sean Richardson kind of played that nickel cornerback position as well sometimes, or kind of a third safety, however you want to look at it. But it basically just happened on passing downs, more or less. It just basically happened in short yardage situations or running situations, and he wasn't out there on the field a lot on passing downs. And I think he got exposed last week in space. I mean, sometimes on the run, as you know, early in the game, Sean Richardson was kind of at fault for giving up that 20-some yard run right away on the first series to Matt Forte. But I almost think Sean Richardson would fit more at linebacker, you know, in like those sub packages, nickel or dime, where it's third and 10. Cause I think he can probably cover better than the big burly inside linebackers who are, you know, pretty slow. I could see that happening. I'm kind of souring on this whole nickel cornerback Sean Richardson kind of thing that we saw in week one, and hope we don't see a whole lot more of going forward. Again, unless we're talking about short yardage situation, third and one. You want to bring Sean Richardson on the field on third and one? Yeah, that's cool. Sean Richardson on third and 10? Not so cool. But anyway, there you go. Next segment of the show. Packers news of the day. On this Wednesday, I think the notable thing today is that it's a busy day for Dayton Jones. As we mentioned earlier, he was the guy who was elevated to the Packers 53-man roster when Sam Barrington went on injured reserve. So it's his first game back. Dayton Jones suspended only one game. They had to make room for him on the roster. And it'll be his first practice since coming back from suspension. So first practice of the week, and also notable that it's also the first day that the Packers release an injury report this week. And Dayton Jones, last we saw him, was missing time in the preseason due to a knee injury. Whether he now has, I don't think he played in either of the final two preseason games. He missed the first game of the season, so that's he basically had three games off. Maybe that's enough for him to get over that knee injury. We'll find out more on Wednesday, like I said, as the Packers release their first injury report of the week, waiting to see if he'll be on it or not, as well as safety Morgan Burnett, of course, missed the first game, waiting to find out all those things later today in the world of the Green Bay Packers. And then Dayton Jones this evening. Bit, like I said, busy day for him. First practice, and then tonight he hosts the season premiere of his radio show on 107.5 and 1400 AM, The Fan in Green Bay, as he did last season as well. So this is nothing new for Dayton Jones, and they kind of have a rotating host. Him and Corey Linsley rotate every other week there. But yeah, so from Dayton Jones to come back from suspension, have his first practice, coming back from injury, and then hosting a radio show at night, pretty big day for him. I imagine he'll sleep well tonight. So wish him all the best. Hopefully he looks good and starts to look like the first round draft choice that he was, because the Packers could certainly use him here. With the game coming up against the Seattle Seahawks this upcoming Sunday. It's a big one. We're going to get more into that on Friday, and looking forward to that. So join us again on Friday. New shows every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time here at Railbird Central. In a live edition, 8:30, podcasted and on demand later in the day. We'll see you, folks. My call to action, if you've not done so already, and I'm talking to you who sits here and listens to me every week but just doesn't do this. I'm talking to you. Go out. Please give us a rating on iTunes. It's the one small thing we ask. This show is free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. Just go on iTunes quick. Give us a rating. We'd really appreciate it. It helps get the word out about the show. Helps us grow our audience and helps us become the number one podcast out there, which you know it is. We'll see you later, folks. Have a good Wednesday. We'll talk to you again 2 days down the road. I leave you today with a song called, if I can find it here, Betray the Dark by String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See everyone. Go Pack Go.